Now, it has nothing to do with the Spartan format of the races that I mentioned before. What it is, it will put you in such uncomfortable position that either two things you're going to learn. You're going to learn more about yourself, or you're going to learn more about yourself. That's really what it comes down to. There's no start, there's no finish. Like usually when you have an event, they say, okay, we're going to start at 9 a.m. Death race. You can get an email the day before, say, okay, we start at 12:01 a.m. Be here. And then when you get there, they give you a puzzle in your car, even before you get out the puzzle, even before you get out in the race, they give you a puzzle. If you can't solve this puzzle, you're done. You're out. Your primal instinct has to come out for these types of races. And that's what's interesting, because for ultra runners and trail runners and obstacle course races, there's a point where your primal instinct comes out. Forget about the books, forget about everything that we've learned. Sometimes there's something inside of us that just shows up that we can't explain. Like, wow, I climbed over that wall. Wow, I did this, I did that. It's accessing our primal being. And to me, believe it or not, Eric, that is what's missing in this world.
Hey, welcome back to the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast, where we talk about what it takes to go the distance in running and in life. I'm your host, Eric Dieter. I'm an ultramarathon runner and a mindset coach. When trail runners get together to run a few miles, we never know where the conversation is going to go. So if you're ready, let's get started. My guest this week is Cliff Moyt. Cliff has 25 years of experience as a fitness professional and manager. He is a coach for the Spartan Race competitors. He is also a national fire walking instructor. And in a few weeks, he's going to compete in the Spartan Death Race. Now, the Spartan Death Race, I found out, is designed to challenge you as much mentally as it is to challenge you physically. And the challenges change every year. I was surprised at some of the things that Cliff has to face, some of the challenges he has to overcome just to be allowed to start the race. I think you'll enjoy listening to this conversation. Here is Cliff Moyt. So, hey, I appreciate you. Appreciate you being on here. This is I'm looking forward to this. And
yeah, we're gonna have fun. We're definitely gonna have fun. There'll probably be a lot of laughs, a lot of interesting topics, and I'm very transparent. Yeah. So, you tell me what my boundaries are, and that's it.
Hey, you know, I'm a mindset coach. There's no boundaries.
just figure I tell you now.
No, it's kind of funny. I call the show Trail Talk, because trail runners, I have found, when we go out and run a trail together, it's like the filters come down. And you know, the trail runs I've had with people, I've told people things out on the trail that I haven't told anybody else, just because it's just that, and that's what I really try to have here, is that kind of, you know, other than the fact that, you know, thousands of people might be listening, you know, so I always want to be aware of that. But you know, we always try to say what stays on the trail, you know, what's said on the trail stays on the trail. But you know, I try to have that kind of transparency and openness in these conversations.
Well, then we have no problems.
That's great.
At all.
Yeah.
So,
well, Cliff, yeah, we had a conversation briefly, and what I like to do is give listeners kind of a background about who you are and how you got to be where you're doing. I mean, I know when you said you're going to be doing this Spartan Death Race in a couple of weeks, and so I want to leave time to talk about that. But you know, how did you get from, you know, where you were to saying, I think I'm going to go participate in the Spartan Death Race?
Well, the whole journey started, I think, in 2013. And, you know, I was always doing the 5K, 10K, you know, all these runs. But, you know, actually, let's go back. There was a show in the 80s called Battle of the Network Stars. I don't know if you remember that.
I didn't watch it very often, but I remember the title.
Yes, it came on Saturdays on ABC. See, I have a weird sense of remembering things. And you had these stars go through these obstacles, right?
Okay.
And I was like, wow, this is so cool. I try to put my pillows and move the couch and try to develop my own obstacle. But once I saw that, I realized that, the body is meant to do something different. So, doing the races, the regular runs, I wanted something more, but I didn't know what. And the movie 300 came out, and I loved 300. It was a great movie, just the special effects, just the whole persona of the movie of the Spartans. And I was on Facebook. I think that's when Facebook was fairly new, but I was on Facebook, and a friend of mine, he said, "Hey, have you checked out this Spartan race?" I'm thinking, "What is this?" So I clicked onto it, and I said, "Oh, wow." And I couldn't believe it was like a steroid version of Battle of the Network Stars. And I said, "Okay, let's see." So I did my first one. I trained for it, and I came first in my heat. And I really enjoyed it. I was like, "Wow!" I felt alive. And they had like a mountain chart for Spartan. Not too many people paid attention to it, but I did. So, you had the sprint, you had the super, you had the beast, you had the ultra, you had the hurricane heat, 4, 12, 24. And then at the top of the mountain was something called the death race. So me being who I was doing the first race, I'm like, "Hey, I can do the death race. I am ready. I am ready. I run. What's the death?" So I started to do some research, and I said, "Okay, this is special. This is really special." So I said, "Well, I like to dive in." So I said, "Well, let me see what I can do." So this was 2014, and I was doing Go Ruck events. I was doing a lot of different events, and what came out, which is very interesting, I started having problems with my ankles. Well, I think it was my left ankle, and I said, "Why is it bothering me so much?" Turns out I went to a podiatrist, and he said I have a tarsal tunnel syndrome, which I have never heard of before.
I've heard of carpal tunnel, but
Exactly. Well, imagine carpal tunnel in your ankle.
okay.
That's painful. So,
Because
and this
you can
was,
work one-handed, but you can't walk one-footed.
I mean, you can with a wheel. There was a point when I really had to decide, because I was going to register, and then I was speaking to the podiatrist and sports doctors, and he said I wouldn't do it. So I was like, "Oh man, come on, come on, come on, coach, put me in." Make a long story short, I said fine, because it was painful. I mean, I could muscle through it, but I had no idea what I was in for. Once I made a decision, they stopped the race for a couple of years. I was like, "Oh, you got to be kidding me." And then it just came back. It just came back in 2020. I think it's 18, 19 or 20. And at that point, I was, life was in my focus, my family, work. It's just a lot of things going on. But I still watch, the individuals compete. I just always had that edge. And then finally this year, I said, "You know what? It's time. First of all, I'm going to be 50 this year. Second of all, it was part of my bucket list. Third of all, I live my life like, why not? You gotta do things that is so uncomfortable that you're scared. And because that builds up a different type of character in you. That's something that can't be taught, but you have to experience." And so I said, "Okay, let's go." I had to ask permission from my wife first, because my wife, I love her, and she loves me, and we've been together for a long time. And as well as I do, Eric, there's a point where you have to make sure you have your team in order to get it done. And she was a critical part of my team, because it, in my world and doing these races, it's a different type of mindset. It's a different type of commitment. And a lot of people don't get it. They literally just don't get it. And they choose not to. And that's quite all right with me. I'm perfectly fine with that. But when I get the okay, kind of like the Rocky, was it Rocky 3 when he was in Russia, or Rocky 4? You know, and she came in her chinchilla coat, whatever hell kind of coat she had on, just standing there, and Rocky's like, okay, let's go. That's how I am. So during the training, you know, I'm realizing my age is starting to show. You know, I realized that I can't grind it as hard as I used to. I have to take more breaks. I have to stretch. I have to do my yoga. I mean, there's a lot of things that I would say 7 to 10 years ago, I just could go into any type of race and say, okay, let's go. So I had to play this smart. I literally have to play this smart and understand what my body needs compared to what my body wants. Because what my body wants is what my mind tells me. What my mind tells me is sometimes ego. Mm-hmm. And ego could always injure you. So, you know, I had to literally just sit on it, like before I react and say, okay, what is my body really feeling? What is it telling me? Forget about my mind. What is my body telling me? And that's how I programmed my workouts and designed to where I am today.
So what, when you went and talked to your wife and said, hey, I want to do this thing, you know, kind of what was her, you know, did she give you any kind of questions about, you know, why is this something you feel like you have to do?
Every day. But you know, what's interesting is that when she asked me, because any person who does an event, you know, you have Tough Mudder, you have Spartan, you have Iron Man, you have it. The name sounds okay. But when you have a name called the Death Race, mm-hmm. there's a different type of mentality thinking, where are you? What? What do you mean Death Race? It's just a name. Don't worry about it. But in their mind, they're thinking, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for my wife, she's my best friend. She gets it. But at the same time, she's concerned. You know, what is my husband? Because I'm notorious, and she knows that. There was one time I did an event, and I didn't really tell her too much about it. I said, you know, it's about a 12-hour event. I'll be back by 10 a.m. It started at 7, something like that. So I didn't really tell her much about it. Turns out that the event went an additional 4 or 5 hours, right? Now she's freaking out because she had no idea where I was.
Well, and it's not like you can stop in the middle and call her and say, oh, by the way, honey.
Well, you know, my wife is the master of social media. And sure enough, the cadre screamed out, who's Cliff? You know, I'm like 16 hours in. I'm like, this is me. Say, yeah, your wife's looking for you. Should I take a picture, tell you you're alive?
Yes, please.
Sure, go right ahead. Yeah, go ahead. But, you know, understanding that, you know, when you're in a committed relationship, when in the committed relationship, not necessarily meaning just your spouse, it means your team, it means your mentors. I mean, everyone is a part of this journey, everyone. That communication is key. That was something that I learned earlier in doing these events. Communication is key. And being a venture racer and including yourself, Eric, you know, it could be in a lonely sport, you know, because we do this alone. Like mm-hmm. when the race starts, this is just us. The training is the team, but when we're out there, it's just us. And sometimes it's hard to invite people into our world. I can speak for myself because I'm so used to doing it by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, you could play soccer, you could play football, you could play basketball, you have a team. But when the stuff that we do is literally by ourselves. And what I love about it is accountable. You're accountable. There's no one else to blame. You can't say, hey, John, you know, you didn't pass me the ball. No, it's just like, wow, I forgot my socks. I forgot my socks. Oh man, I'm done. How am I going to pull this one off? So overall, it's always a learning experience for me. Everything that I've done, even going to the supermarket, everything that I've learned from doing races is, okay, what did I learn? I always ask myself before I get frustrated, because sometimes, you know, I could get triggered with when people don't operate kind of like the way that I do. And then, and my kids see that, right? It's mm-hmm. pretty funny. They say, oh boy, here we go. But then I say, okay, what am I learning from this? Why is it really triggering me? And sometimes when I'm out on the course and I see a runner maybe a slower pace and kind of taking their time and I'm trying to get around, but the trees are so thick that I can't get around. So you're just trotting behind them. I say to myself, okay, why are you frustrated? Why do I want to go faster? Well, of course your ego wants to go faster. Just be present. Your time will come.
Mm-hmm. So the Spartan race, give it a little bit of a, you know, what is the format of the Spartan race? I mean, I know it's an obstacle course race, and I've talked to a guy who did the world's toughest mudder, I know there's some differences between the two. And so for those of us who aren't, you know, they're just kind of outside looking into obstacle course racing, we all kind of lump them all into one. So what sets the Spartan race apart from the others?
Well, Spartan race, you know, it's interesting because, they have it on levels. See, Joe DeSena started this because he was an adventure racer.
Okay.
And the problem with adventure racing was that it's expensive. You're looking at $5,000 to $10,000.
even at the lower, I have had a guest on, Heather Hart, and she's gotten an ultra runner who's gotten into adventure racing, and I've seen her talk about is just at the entry level, it's expensive to do adventure racing.
You know, it's like, hey, how did you do? I finished it, but I don't have a home. I refied my home to do this race, you know. But, you know, so what he wanted was an event, to create an event where it's similar to adventure racing, that you could rip someone off the couch and get them moving. You know, it's not about who's coming first or second or third or fourth or fifth. It's just about finishing, mm-hmm. right? Now, you have the elites who compete and get sponsorship. That's great. But as you know as well as I do, this world is being infested with obesity, diabetes, you name, inflammation. Everything that's going on in this world is due to inactivity and food. Mm-hmm. And I would say the third one would be stress. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, that's a real silent killer. So he has it down where you have a sprint, which is like 3 to 5 miles. You have the super, which is could be 8 to 10 miles. You have the beast, which can be say 13 to 15 miles. It depends on the course because each course is different throughout the world, and then you have the ultra, which is over 26. So sometimes it could be from 26 to 30 something miles. And then you have hurricane heat, which is based on hours. So you have a 4 hour, you have a 12 hour, you have a 24 hour. And then the death race is a whole different breed. Now it has nothing to do with the Spartan format of the races that I mentioned before. What it is, it will put you in such uncomfortable position that either two things you're going to learn. You're going to learn more about yourself, or you're going to learn more about yourself. That's really what it comes down to. There's no start. There's no finish. Like usually when you have an event, they say, okay, we're going to start at 9 a.m. Death race. You can get an email the day before, say, okay, we start at 12:01 a.m. Be here. And then when you get there, they give you a puzzle in your car, even before you get out in the race, they give you a puzzle. Can't solve this puzzle, you're done. You're out.
Wow.
So it's more of, it's really everything that you have, your primal instinct has to come out for these types of races. And that's what's interesting, because for ultra runners and trail runners and obstacle course races, there's a point where your primal instinct comes out. Forget about the books, forget about everything that we've learned. Sometimes there's something inside of us that just shows up that we can't explain. Like, wow, I climbed over that wall. Wow, I did this, I did that. It's accessing our primal being. And to me, believe it or not, Eric, that is what's missing in this world.
Mm-hmm. So what do you have any better explanation of what, I mean, because for a lot of people, I mean, it's missing in this world. There are a lot of people who really may not even be able to identify, to even know that to know that it's there. I mean, some of us might have this feeling that something's missing, but give an example of how does that primal part come out?
Well, for me, it started to come out when I started doing these races, these Spartan races. And granted, it could have been Spartan, could have been Tough Mudder, could have been, you know, Go Ruck, it could have been any event, right? But there was a point where I felt calm and everything got quiet. Now, granted, I could have been passing out, right? But all joking aside, there was a calm where I felt one with the mountain. I felt one with the trail. I felt one with nature. There's a certain type of inner peace, almost like a chi, mm-hmm. From within, that you start to get it. You start to understand it. And it's a form of surrendering. You know, sometimes we choose not to surrender because we don't know what we're going to face.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in my world, I choose to surrender because I'm kind of curious what's down the rabbit hole.
Yeah.
And when we understand that surrendering is not something that you're saying you're giving up, surrendering is allowing you to stop and pause to reflect and then to execute what needs to get done.
Yeah, and that's interesting you say surrendering, because it's almost, it's what you're describing sounds kind of like a Zen state, but it comes as you're doing this extreme movement as well. And so you're not just, it's a calm that comes as you're executing and putting yourself through some strenuous stuff.
Yeah, because you start to understand that, first of all, it always could be worse. You know, it always could be worse. No matter how bad you and I could have the worst scenario and have a conversation with someone else, it's like, wow. And that's where the perspective comes in. That's when you start to say, man, you know, I have another 40 miles to go. Well, it could always be worse. It's not raining. So that's how I try to look at things.
That's cool. So tell a little bit, I mean, tell a bit about the format of the Spartan race. I mean, I know that the regular Spartan race is as obstacles as well as,
yeah.
And the, it sounds kind of what you said, the until you get to the hurricane heat, the Spartan races are based on distance, and then the hurricane
Correct.
Heat is based on time.
Correct. Well, it's based on hours and tasks. It's more of a like you have team events,
okay.
team. I would say team events and individual time hacks. But you know, for the Spartan race, you know, you could run like a mile, and then next, you know, you have these multiple of obstacles. And now, there's certain obstacles that if you don't complete or you fall off the rig or something like that, you have to do burpees, and the requirements is 30 burpees.
Okay.
I think they may be changing that. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that. But realistically, what it allows you to do is to say, okay, where in life does obstacles show up, and what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Really? And so they have these obstacles. You could climb the huge rigs. You could pull these sandbags, you carry buckets full of sand, you go up these certain types of strenuous hills. Some hills look like Mount Everest, to be honest with you. That's in Killington. That's a hard course, very hard course. And they just throw a lot of things at you. You have to throw a spear, you know, which a lot of people feel like is really fun, because that's the main thing. That's like the mascot. Can I hit the target with a spear?
Mm-hmm.
You know, And it's a good feeling when you hit it. It's not a good feeling because you have 30 burpees when you miss, right? So just imagine you run through the whole entire race and it's like, oh man, they hit the spear. That's the first thing people say. Hey, did you hit the spear? Did you hit the target? No, I got burpees. Yeah. Dislocated my shoulder. No. But overall, so each event, like the sprint is a short one. The super is moderate. The beast is basically a half marathon. So the course becomes, you have more obstacles and more distance to run.
Okay.
And then at the end of each event, there's a fire. You have to jump over fire.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah.
So I've seen people with no limbs. I'm exaggerating, no legs completing it. I've seen blind people complete it. I've seen dogs complete it. I've seen, I mean, you name it, wheelchair vets, you name it. I have seen people cross the finish line when you say to yourself, what am, you know, you look at yourself, what's my excuse?
Mm-hmm.
Really, what's my excuse? So it's really motivating to see all this.
Mm-hmm. So the hurricane, you said the death race has got a little bit more mental component to it. I mean,
yeah.
what kind of, I mean, you say you have to solve a puzzle at the beginning, and what, okay, give an example of
so what's throughout kind of like? The year. Yeah, that's a great question. Great question. Throughout the years, I really wonder how they come up with some of this stuff. There was one year where they literally had, I think it was last year, they had a 700 pound tire and had to walk 26 miles through the woods with this tire. And it's one of those big tractor tires, and you have a team and you have to go through. There was another year where they had to go through the mountains barefoot. There was another year where, what year was that? They literally had to chop wood for, I think, 5 to 6 hours nonstop. There was another year where they had a Guinness Book of World Record where they had to a barbed wire crawl. They had the Joe brought the Guinness Book of World Record to say, okay, let's see how far you guys can go. And they did 26 miles of barbed wire crawl.
Wow.
His knees didn't look pretty.
Yeah.
But,
I would imagine.
But so he, you get no sleep. You know, there was one point where you're like 40, 50 hours, if I'm correct, and they bring you into this room. And they're telling a bedtime story to you to see who's going to fall asleep or not. If you fall asleep, you're out. You know, you know. So he puts, the team puts it together, Andy and Don and the rest of them. They put in where you're using your mind because you have to, like, for example, there was one that you run up Bloodroot, which is a trail, it's a real steep trail, and you have to memorize something, and then you have to run down and either draw it or tell them what order that was. And if not, then you got to keep doing it back and forth, and you have a time hack to complete it. And if you don't meet the time hack, you're out. There's like, that's it. You're done. So it's a lot of math. I'm going to tell you, it's math, it's memory, there's crawling, there's running, there's a lot of burpees. One year they had to do 5,000 burpees overnight. There's puzzles, there's carrying a lot of heavy stuff. Last year they had to carry the porta potty. One team had to carry a tire, the other team had to carry a porta potty, you know,
for the same distance. You said the tire was 26 miles.
You look at it the same way, you're all going to the same place. So, you know, there's yoga, you had to end up doing some type of yoga. I mean, the list goes on and on. And it's never the same. So all we can do as the competitors is to try to accumulate what the races were in the past and expect there's a possibility something similar.
Mm-hmm.
This year, they told us that we have to bring, and again, this is, we have to bring two blocks of ice with our names chiseled on it. So two blocks of ice, 10 pounds or more, with our names on them. And we're trying to, listen, I live in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Where am I going to get? First of all, I'm trying to figure out where am I going to get a block of ice? Not in Florida. It's not going to happen because once I'm on the plane, the ice is melting. Mm-hmm. How am I going to transport this thing? So this is what they want. They want you to feel uncomfortable in order to bring out a part of you that you probably have never accessed before.
Mm-hmm. That's an interesting. Yeah, as I start, you said the thing about the ice. I start thinking about, you know, what, how you can accomplish that. That's.
Just, I think I figure it out, but I'm not going to say it here.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. I watched a lot of MacGyver. Uh-huh. That's what it was. You have to watch a lot of MacGyver. You have to watch a lot of MacGyver to finish the death race. Yes. Yes.
Well, I could see that. So, where is the death race? Where's that held?
They call it the farm. It's actually on Joe DeSena's property in Pittsville, Vermont. I think he has close to 700 acres of land.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Up there. So, they call it the farm. There's only something called the general store, one store in the middle of nowhere.
Okay. So it's not like you can like pop into the store and buy a couple blocks of ice
necessarily. You have a chisel on ice. Okay, that'd be great.
Somebody might hear this. I mean, cause I think this is going to air a little bit before the race. And, so somebody might hear this and, decide that they're going to buy up a bunch of ice and set up on the road as an ice vendor.
Yeah, at one point, you know, at one point I'm saying to myself, like, what did I sign up for? Like sometimes, like, really, what did I sign up for? If you see the gear list, you're like, what exactly do they want us to do? So, another thing that we had to find was a turkey egg, an unboiled turkey egg. So a lot of, you know, I talked to some of my friends, you know, my wife was calling farms. I'm calling farms. Say, I need a turkey egg. And I'm like, what? Yeah, I need a turkey egg. A turkey egg.
I made the decision a while back that I wouldn't ask companies to sponsor this show. It's not that I didn't believe in their products. There's a lot of good products out there that I would love to promote. I just wanted to have the freedom to put the show together in a way that felt right to me. And sponsors often want to dictate where their advertisements go in the show. At the same time, you know, I wanted to give you who listen and who like the show to support this show if you chose to. So I decided to start putting this short break in the middle to talk about a couple of offers that I've got. At the UltraMindsetPodcast.run, you can find a link to Amazon. It's an affiliate link. That means if you click on the link and then make a purchase, I get a small percentage from certain items. It doesn't cost you any extra. And you may have used affiliate links before when you purchase something from Amazon. If you've ever seen one of those top 10 best products review things, they're all over. And I know I check those out when I want to buy products. Those links to the products, because I mean, they give you the review, tell you, and if you want to buy it right then, you click on the link. The people who wrote that and put that top 10 list together will get a small percentage because it's an affiliate link. Now, I'm not pushing any products. I'm not going to be doing top 10 reviews here on the show. I only set this up just to ask that you would consider grabbing that link from the UltraMindsetPodcast.run and use it when you shop Amazon. That's it. It will help me keep the lights on here at the podcast. I truly appreciate your support, and thanks a lot for listening. So, what are the gear requirements?
It's very unique. Of course, the food. Now, keep in mind, the food it goes up to 72 hours, right? It could end a little before then. It all depends. Each race is different, but you need at least 3 days of food with you. It's, when we do the ultra run and we have our bins, each year is different. Sometimes you have a bin, sometimes you don't. They don't tell you. So if I don't have a bin, then I have to be prepared to have 3 days of food. A bivy, which is like a sleeping bag, extra clothes. We need a life preserver, life jacket, because obviously we're going to be doing something in the water for a long period of time. A saw. This year we needed a power tool. Again, they never mentioned power tools, and we need a power tool. They say choose wisely for a power tool.
So that's the only specification you got is a power tool. That nothing.
They said you choose one power tool. Quote, choose wisely. I'm thinking, how is this possible? So I'm looking up a power tool. I'm thinking, okay, well, what variations of power tools are out there? Obviously it has to be cordless. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be an extension cord that goes 20 something miles. Mm-hmm. So, you know, this is where, you know, your mind starts to really overthink things. And I'm seeing how that works. You know, it's the overthink thing. It's like, am I really overthinking things? You know, power tool is a power tool, but sometimes when you're adding a word, it can really screw you up. Mm-hmm. Say, would you like ham or eggs? But the eggs are very different. What do you mean very different? The eggs, maybe not.
Yeah.
Start to wondering.
See, I went through the list of power tools of there's like the saw, you know, saw, you can circular saw, you can reciprocating saw, you can get drills.
But again, you see, now if we went down the rabbit hole, this is a power tool, you say a drill. Now, what kind of drill? Can I bring the drill bits? We don't know.
Right, yeah, because if you have a drill and they don't provide any drill bits, then your power tool is worthless.
This is what... You see how this whole thing works?
Yeah, because if they were specific, you know, if you brought a drill and drill bits, they would look at your, you know, says, no, you only get the power tool. You don't get anything else.
Then you say, okay, then that's when MacGyver comes in. And you say, okay, what can I make to attach to this drill?
Yeah.
You know, so it's interesting for me because it helps me access my creative juices.
Yeah, yeah, and I could see you where know. You talk about MacGyver, you know, having to be adaptable.
You have to be adaptable, and it shows up. I mean, you know as well as I do. Sometimes we get so frustrated. Not sure if you know this, but I'm also a hypnotherapist.
Yes, yeah, so, right? Yeah, I read that in your bio.
And there's a term called nebula hallucination. And nebula hallucination is like, for example, when you're cooking and you're saying, okay, let me find the garlic powder. You open up the cabinet. You cannot find the garlic powder. You're going crazy and say, I know it's in the cabinet. And you know the garlic powder is looking right at you. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And that is where you're hallucinating so much that your mind is not even focusing to where it is. Like you see so many other spices, but the mind can't say, okay, let me narrow in and say, okay. And that happens a lot with ultra runners or with trail runners, where we go into the zone where we get so frustrated at one point, and it's so simple to say, wait a minute, what am I doing? It's right there. Mm-hmm. So, it's a good thing. It's a beautiful thing. I think, I believe it's something where we allow ourselves to feel.
Yeah. And it sounds like you said, you know, that you're on your own, on ultra marathon, you know, and I think even on the Tough Mudder, you have it's a loop course and you have a team that you can, you know, that will take care of you. But it sounds like for the death race, you really are on your own. I mean, you don't have... Can you bring support people along with you?
No.
No. Okay.
Nope. No. No.
So you have a team of other people that are going through this with you that you can team up with, but you don't have a support, a team.
Yeah. You don't have a team. Yeah. No, you don't have a team. Every year is different, but for the past couple of years, they just want you up there, which it's great. It's a great thing. Because that's what life's about. You know, we sometimes have that parental feelings like, you know, mom and dad's going to save me or my friends are going to be there for me. But in life, that's not what it's about. Life is about, okay, are you prepared for what could possibly happen? And I believe that a lot of us are and a lot of us aren't.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's no right or wrong. You know, what's amazing about this whole thing, I don't believe there's right or wrong. I don't. I believe that there are only lessons. And when we look at things like that, it becomes interesting how we play life. Mm-hmm. because when projection, when people start to project on us, we start to really see that that person's hurt, and it's not our responsibility at times. You know, we have to put boundaries for ourselves, for us to get through it, and now allow, you know, the outside and social media and the news and all this other stuff that's going around to infiltrate our head. And when we get that, it becomes, you know, it becomes so much easier. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah. So in training, I mean, you're training for the physical side of it. You know, kind of what, I mean, you said you're MacGyver, you're kind of looking at your creative side to kind of keep your mind flexible. Talk about that in a minute, but what's your, kind of training and, training plan like for this?
Well, the training, there's two types of training plan. There's the physical and there's the mental, right? The physical, you know, with my background, I've been a fitness coach, mindset coach for close to 30 years now. So I write out the program based on not what people may think. Like, for example, I mean, you're the first person I'm going to tell you this, but I don't lift weights. I don't do the traditional bench press and lat pull down. I just don't, because that doesn't mimic what I'm going to be doing.
Right.
You know, I'm more of function. I say, okay, I'm going to be crawling, I'm going to be rolling. So what do I need to do to get better at that? You know, what core strength do I need to do? So, you know, of course, the first thing is running. You know, if you're not a good runner, develop it. Yeah. You know, there's no gray. If you're saying that, you know, I don't like running, well, then that's where we're starting, right? Lots of burpees. Like, you know, I've done, today I'm going to attempt 800 burpees today. I did 500 already. I do 100 a day. But I believe that burpees is to me, granted, is one of the best exercises that anyone could do.
Kind of give a breakdown for those people who are going like, yeah, I hate doing burpees.
Yeah. So it's basically, you're standing, you're going down into a push-up position, you do a push-up, you jump up into a jump squat, touch your hands at the top and come back down again. The reason why is, you know, for runners, I'm just going to tell you, for runners, the best exercise for runners is the push-up. And the reason why is because when you go into a push-up position, you have your hip that's fully extended, you have your knee that's extended, and you have your ankle that's in the flex position, right? Which is, if I'm in a push-up position and just stand up, that's the same position as a running movement.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So when I work with runners, I tell them, I said, we got to get your push-ups, because once you understand that it's really the hips, you know, shoulders, hips, knee, ankle, which is basically the kinetic chain. When we understand all that, then we understand why we do what we do. Not to just do exercise just because it looks cool, not to stand on the BOSU ball to say I'm working on balance. We're doing this because this is what my body needs to function during the particular race. So my training is a lot of running, a lot of rucking, which is heavy backpack, because if I'm going to have 3 days of stuff on my back, then obviously I get used to it. A lot of calisthenics, a lot of swimming, you know, I go in the pool, and because it helps me with my cardiovascular as well. And a lot of spontaneous stuff, meaning that if I'm going to train at, usually if I train in the morning, I say, well, let me train at night. Well, if I train at night, well, let me get up in the middle of the night and train there. You know, there's certain things that I try to put myself in an uncomfortable position, because to get, once you get uncomfortable, then you become comfortable. Because everything that we experience, we only experience it once, but our mind will remind us, okay, you've been there before. So I'm constantly trying to put myself in my mind to, I've been there before. Now, granted, I may not finish this race. I don't know. And I'm okay with it. Mm-hmm. I really am okay with it, because if I can say that I gave 100%, then I'm good. If I gave 90%, I'm good. If I gave 50%, I'm good. Because my term is very simple. I didn't quit. I just stopped. Mm-hmm. You know, and it puts a gentler responsibility, you know, on me when I say, I just stopped. I'm okay with it. You know, I learned what I needed to learn, and, you know, I could try it again next year or I'm not. Mm-hmm.
So how do you prepare the mental side for you know, you said you have, and so many runners I know, you know, talk about, well, you know, I just go out and run long distances, and that prepares my mind for what I need for the race. It sounded to me like you do maybe something separate for your mental training and not just of pushing yourself in your physical training.
Well, the physical training, that's, you know, you either, you know, I don't like to use the word grind. You grind through it. I get that. But there's certain things that I believe that a person must understand about themselves first to understand how to run their race. You see, either we're running or we're doing events based on emotions or logic. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is it logical or is it emotional? Emotional is like saying, you know, my parents said I will never do anything, and look at me now. I'm going to continue. I'm going to prove this and this and that, right? That eventually is going to get old, mm-hmm. right? That could be great for the first 5-10 races. Then the reality sets in. And then the reality, then, you know, I've seen individuals say, well, it's not fun for me anymore. We heard that term mm-hmm, anymore. Mm-hmm. Because what happened is that they fulfilled whatever their emotional state is.
Yeah, they proved something to themselves and you know, kind of in their mind, you know, disproved that criticism that they received.
Correct. And that's okay. Again, remember, there's no right or wrong. But for me, what I try to really focus on is, what is my mind really saying to myself? Like, what exactly, it's like tapping, it's like meditation. What exactly am I supposed to listen to? You know, sometimes we listen to ego and sometimes we listen to source, mm-hmm. two different things, right? And the question is, how do I tap into source and not tap into ego? Because don't get me wrong, I think it's important that we have ego, mm-hmm. because ego could give us that boost, that big boost to continue. But when we're tired, ego could be your nemesis. You know, when you're tired, ego could say, hey, you know, Cliff, this, don't you want pancakes? Yeah. You know, come on, just call it, tap out. It's okay. You know, but when you tap into source, and the question is, how do we tap into it? What is the training that I do to tap into source? At first, I would run with my music or listen to a podcast or something and just go out on the road and just have fun. Now I don't. I literally listen to my feet. Mm-hmm. I literally count. You see, you should try this. It's so much fun. Sometimes I run, and then, for example, when I'm running, I say, okay, A1, B2, C3, E4, all the way up, all the way down the alphabet with the numbers. And if I mess up, I start all over again.
Okay.
Right. Now, granted, that sounds pretty simple.
It does sound simple.
But try that at mile 10. Mm-hmm. It's a whole different game, because sometimes, you know, you could be a little tired. You could be, you could be tired. You could be weak, whatever you're going through. And then now you're trying to think of a number and a letter. Wow.
So do you do that in time with your footsteps then? Like your left foot is A and your right foot is 1 and then your left foot is B, right foot? Or is it in cadence?
Yes and no. In beginning, it was, you know, it was easier to do it that way, right? Mm-hmm. Because each step you're like, okay. But if you're not, and you're just saying, okay, let me just run and just try to come up with these letters and numbers. No, it's tough. Mm-hmm. And it becomes comical after a while. And people see you on the streets laughing by yourself. Yeah. You know, I'm waiting for the, the sirens to come and lock me up. Yeah. There's a crazy guy laughing, counting numbers and letters. Can you take them in?
So you count them out loud. You're not just in your head.
Yeah, I count them out loud.
Okay.
Because I suggest this for a lot of the reason why is because you're by yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, who cares? Why even bother? This is your world. This is your world. So, you know, it's Eric, you know, as we talk and discuss about this, does this all really matter? At times it does. Mm-hmm. It matters to us at that moment, right? At that moment, because what drives us crazy is reminiscing on the past and worrying about the future. Mm-hmm. Those are the two things that drives us crazy. You know, very rarely we focus on the present.
Yeah, and we tend to live in one or the other. And sometimes we just kind of flip back and forth and we skip the present, just from remembering the past. And usually, mm-hmm. in my case, and I think for a lot of people, it's easier to remember the difficult times in the past and the mistakes of the past and the painful moments of the past more than the good times. And then we tend to look at the future and kind of project what has been our past and expect that in the future.
Correct. It's expectations, right? We expect something, and like we can expect that if I ran a great race, that the next race is even going to be better.
Yes.
Right. Rather than let me be present and let me go through it to decide. Some of the races that we've done in the past, we're thinking, oh my God, it sucked, and you did your best times.
Yeah.
Like, really? There was a race, I remember clearly, there was a race that I ran. And the only reason why I ran the race, I told my wife, we had a meeting, a conference. And I said, listen, I'm going to run this race and I'll meet you at the conference. And I ran the race and I was getting ready. He said, oh, you got to wait. I'm like, what do you mean? He said, well, you came in first in your group. I said, what do you mean first? I saw people in front of me. He said, oh, no. That was, they started 2 hours before. I'm thinking, oh, you got to be kidding me. I thought I sucked. So I had to wait, you know, to get this plaque or whatever. I'm like, oh, all right, well, again, expectation is pretty interesting. But at the same time, it's a beautiful thing where we have an opportunity to really know who we are as a warrior, as a Titan. And one thing that, Eric, you probably could agree with, that it's amazing how everything always works itself out. Mm-hmm. It's just pretty amazing. You know, the worst scenario, it just works itself out. And I invite whoever is listening to trust the process, trust what the result is, the result that's needed, not what's wanted, what's needed, and trust that you're going to be just fine.
Yeah. Yeah. And the DNF does not mean anything except that on that day, it was, you know, it wasn't there. And, And I liked your, you know, what you said about that is that if I don't finish, I'm still okay. And I think you talked about, you know, coming from that place of source, rather than ego. And, I think if you're doing things from your source and they are not relying upon the result to feed your ego.
Yeah.
That's a very,
and that takes work. I tell you, that takes a lot of work. It's not something like, you know, we don't have Yoda on our back.
Sometimes you know, it would be good if we did.
Yeah, you know, have a long-eared gremlin whispering in my ear. We don't have that. But what we do have is an opportunity based on time. You see, we have time. You know, a lot of individuals may not feel like there's a lot of time. But when you start to connect time, everything slows down. Everything. You have you ever had a conversation with two people? I had a conversation with a shaman, and I was talking to the shaman. He was my roommate when I was doing my firewalking, and talking to this dude, I felt like I was like everything was in slow motion, and I was like, wow, you know, when you really know who you are as an individual, time slows down, and you have all the time in the world. Don't let anyone push you. Don't let anyone push you, man. You have all the time in the world. We haven't accessed that part. is the time.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, you mentioned firewalking, and I know that you are a firewalking instructor. I was curious about that. I kind of wanted to ask you what is the firewalking, and what do people benefit from that?
So, you know, it started for me because my wife and I were huge on self-development, and we went to a Tony Robbins event, and that was his signature thing, mm-hmm. right? And was I scared? Absolutely. Who wants to get burned?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, come on. So once that happened, I said, well, I'm a type of guy that I want to know who taught who. Now, I want to go to the source.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I was doing some research, and I finally found a person who taught firewalk instructor to a great level. And ironically, there was his associates who was having a certification in Florida, and I went to it. And, you know, it's amazing when we don't know, again, we're going back, we don't know what we can do until we're there. So ironically, you know, the firewalking was, it's really a symbol of not only mentally can you do it, but you could allow yourself to receive, who you are as an individual. And when I help people go through that, you know, because the truth is, Eric, I'm just going to call it out. Everyone has inner child shit.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Every person, I don't care who you are. Everyone has some type of trauma. And there's nothing wrong with that, because that's what made us who we are today. But when we allow ourselves to break through by doing things that you never thought you'd be able to do, firewalking, glass walking, breaking an arrow with your neck, when you start to do breakthroughs, you start to have an understanding that maybe there's more that I can do. Maybe I can get through this. Maybe I shouldn't be so worried about that. But the question is, are you going to dive into the pool, or are you going to just put the tip of your toe in to test the waters? You know, everyone has their journey.
Mm-hmm.
So with firewalking, it allows myself, it allows individuals to put themselves in a state where it's comfortable for them. It's not forced. It's, you know, one thing about firewalking is never forced. When you're ready, it will tell you, okay, I'm ready to go. And then you just go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Cause I know I've seen, you know, the firewalking on Tony Robbins and that type of, it's always intrigued me. But I thought,
yeah.
Like,
it's interesting. It's interesting. It's not for everyone, you know, again.
You know? Well, neither is the Spartan death race for everyone.
Not for everyone. Sure. Yeah. Yeah. Sure. Yeah. I mean, I'd rather eat asparagus. Trust me.
Cliff, thank you a lot so much. I appreciate it. How do people get a hold? How, if they wanted to hear this and wanted to reach out and touch base with you, how can they connect with you?
Well, you could connect with me on Instagram or Facebook. But on Instagram is Cliff the Titan. Cliff the Titan. You can reach me on Facebook. Once you go into Instagram, you'll see me on Facebook as well. And you know, like I said, I'm transparent. You know, I love coaching. I love motivating. I love getting results. And just to keep in mind, anyone who's listening, you have the power to create anything that you want. Don't let anyone tell you anything less. Trust me. Don't let anyone tell you anything. You can design the life that you want.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to go down the rabbit hole and trust the process.
Yeah. Well, thank you a lot. I appreciate it. Before I let you go, I have what I call the bridge questions. So,
who approaches the bridge of death must answer me these questions three. The other side he see.
Ask me the questions, bridge keeper. I'm not afraid.
So the first question is, as you are looking at your if they give you an option, what is your must have piece of gear that you that you take, either running or
my must have trail toes.
What? Okay. Trail toes. Tell me what trail toes is.
That's the, It's a gel that you put around so you don't get blisters. Oh,
okay. Okay. Yeah. So yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking. So, kind of thought it was, but
yeah. So yeah, that listen, I don't care what race, if you don't take care of your feet, the race is done.
That's true. That is true.
No matter what, you could have the best sneakers. You could have, you know, the best. If your feet are not comfortable, game over.
That's good. That's good. Okay. Second.
So socks and trips. Yeah. So second, I was going to say a good question. I would say maybe bladder.
Water
bladder. Good bladder. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, good bladder. Something that's comfortable.
Okay.
And the third, it all depends on what the event is, right?
Yeah. So the second question is actually different than gear. So the second question is what is the, as you've been out about running, what is the strangest thing that you've seen when you're on your,
man. So, I was running, I was doing the trail, and I looked to my left, right, and it looked like a bear, right? It looked like a bear. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, okay. And then as I'm running, I was like, man, that doesn't look like a bear. What the hell is that, right? And I'm looking. I was like, is that what is that? Like, and then I got so intrigued that I went towards it, right? And it was like an oversized turtle. It looked like some kind of turtle. And I said, what in the heck? What? This is in the mountains. What is this? Like a ninja turtle. Donatello is in the woods here.
So you say it looked like an oversized turtle, and was it like upright, like, or was it like on all fours?
It was on all fours.
It was on all fours.
It was huge. Huge. I really can't explain that. You know, you talk to your friends, they think you're hallucinating.
Yes. Yeah. It's interesting. I don't tell too many people this. I've started listening to a YouTube channel called How to Hunt. And there are a lot of strange creatures that people have seen that no one will acknowledge. So a giant turtle in the woods. I'm like, yeah, okay. There, you're not alone. There are a lot of people seeing
there's some
things
stuff
that,
out there
that no, the officially are not admitted to. So,
well, just want to say this: if the news shows up some type of alien turtle, they're saying, just know, I saw it first.
Okay.
Yeah. I have the trademark on the alien turtle.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's great. Third question is, what word or phrase would best kind of sum up your life philosophy?
Okay, repeat that one again.
What word or phrase would sum up your life philosophy?
Inner peace.
I like that.
Yeah, inner peace. The end.
Yeah, yeah. That's great. That's great. Yeah. That's something that is a great great goal. I mean, great to pursue, because if you work from a place of inner peace, you can accomplish a lot.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again, Cliff. I appreciate your time.
No, thank you, man. You're awesome. I have to tell you, you are an amazing individual. I love having the laughs. I love the stories.
Yeah. And well, thank you.
You know, so and most importantly, I'm very proud of you.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Proud of you, man.
Hey, thanks for listening to this episode of the Ultramarathon Mindset Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode and you know somebody who might like it as well, please take just a minute, send them a link so they can listen. And if you enjoy most of the episodes, please tell your friends. That's the best compliment you can give. I truly enjoy being able to spend time here with you each week, and I appreciate that you take the time to listen. If you have any comments, questions, or stories that you'd like to share, go to ultramindsetpodcast.run and you can leave a written or a voice message. You can also find the show notes for this episode and more at the same link, ultramindsetpodcast.run. Remember, it takes an ultramarathon mindset to go the distance in running and in life, and a strong mindset is a skill you can learn. Thanks for listening, and I'll see you next time.